The Raw Deal. Albrecht von Wallenstein was a Bohemian nobleman who spent his entire life in the service of his country. At the outbreak of the Thirty Years' War in 1618, he offered his soldiers and his fortune to his emperor, Ferdinand II. The emperor rewarded Wallenstein for his loyalty by taking the command of the army from him. Wallenstein accepted this decision calmly and retired to his castle in Prague, where he lived in mysterious magnificence. It is 1632. Wallenstein is standing in the great hall of his castle before a huge fireplace. He is awaiting the arrival of his emperor, Ferdinand, who has come to Prague for a short visit.
His Majesty Ferdinand, King of Bohemia, King of Hungary, Emperor of the Holy Roman Empire.
Your Majesty.
Wallenstein. Ah, it is good to see you again.
Why am I so honored, sire?
Wallenstein, it is hard for me to come here. I know you have good reason to hate me.
You are wrong. You are my emperor.
Then you are still loyal?
Until death, sire.
Ah, I knew you would stand by me. Wallenstein, I was forced to dismiss you and appoint Tilly in your place. You had enemies.
There is
you...
no apology needed, Your Majesty. I understand the envy of men.
Ah, you are a great man, Wallenstein.
I serve a great emperor.
I will tell you my problems immediately. As you know, Gustavus Adolphus of Sweden has landed in Germany.
That means danger for Bohemia.
Exactly, Wallenstein. Will you come to my aid again?
Your Majesty, I...
Bohemia needs you, Wallenstein, now more than ever. If you will come to my aid, I will give you the supreme command of the army.
Supreme command?
We must have you. The men will die for you. Oh, I beg of you, return to me.
Very well.
Oh, I knew you wouldn't fail me.
I will raise an army of 30,000 men. In 3 weeks, we will attack Adolphus.
The treasury of Bohemia is very low. How am I to raise enough money in only 3 weeks?
I will pay them. I will place my lands, my wealth, my ability at your disposal.
Oh, thank you, Wallenstein. Your emperor bows his head in humility.
Gustavus Adolphus is finally killed at the Battle of Lutzen, and Wallenstein is victorious. But the Emperor Ferdinand, torn between jealousy of the general's popularity and gratitude for his achievements, finally signs a secret document condemning Wallenstein and his loyal supporters to death. On February 25th, 1634, Wallenstein is at Eger in Bohemia. He and his four loyal friends are invited to a banquet. The hosts are three of his commanding officers who have secretly betrayed him to the emperor. At the last minute, Wallenstein is too tired to attend and stays at his manor house where he consults his astrologer, Battista Seni.
The stars are dark for you, Albrecht von Wallenstein.
I do not need you to tell me that.
The house of friendship is full of enemies. They are searching for you.
I do not care. Something has gone out of me, Battista. A certain fierce faith in my own destiny has been replaced by doubts, unwilling fears.
Wallenstein! Wallenstein, run for your life. Behind the house. They're coming up the stairs. Run.
Hide.
Who are coming?
Butler, Devereaux, and the others.
They are my loyal officers.
They have killed your supporters at the banquet. Now they've come here. Run for your life. I know a secret passage.
I will run from nobody.
I will go with you, Gabba. I have no wish to die. Take me with you. Take me.
Yes, Batista, come with me. Oh, master, once more, come with me.
Florenstein, Repoventa!
Florenstein, we are your friends.
There, you see, they have come. Goodbye.
I will go too. Goodbye, Florenstein.
Florenstein, Repoventa!
Come in, my friends. What brings you here, friend?
Death for the traitor!
Death!
Death!
I salute you, Bohemia.
Death!
Hail and farewell!
Strange as it seems, Wallenstein, the great Bohemian patriot, raised and equipped an army of 30,000 men for his emperor, Ferdinand II, on two occasions. Ferdinand repaid him by ordering his assassination and by giving his murderers handsome gifts. The Vanishing Derelict. The Graveyard of the Atlantic. Cape Hatteras, off the coast of North Carolina, is a menace to shipping, where stately ships are changed into windswept derelicts, drifting at mercy of the elements. It's late at night on October 14th, 1927. A heavy storm is raging off Cape Hatteras. The Maurice K. Thurlow, a four-masted windjammer of American registry, is rapidly being forced upon the shoals. Once, twice, she seems to tremble, hesitate. Then a mighty heave from the maddened sea sends her crashing against the rocks. The Coast Guard rescues the crew of the Maurice K. Thurlow that night. Next morning, they find no trace of the abandoned ship and decide that she has been battered to pieces by the fury of the storm. Thirteen days later, a Dutch tanker is cruising the shores of the Atlantic, many miles from Cape Hatteras.
Off Charleston, Skipper.
It's a calm sea today.
Yes, Skipper.
I wonder what ship that is to the starboard.
Wait, I'll take a look. Maurice K. Thurlow. And I believe she's a derelict.
Derelict, eh? Now, let me look. Yeah, she's a derelict, all right. Better radio the Coast Guard.
I'll speak to the radio officer, sir.
She hasn't any sails. Looks battered up. Poor old girl. Poor old girl.
That schooner's been sighted. The one that went down off Cape Hatteras a couple of weeks ago.
Well, I just finished taking her off the list. You're crazy.
Well, the Dutch tanker Wilhelmina Van Dusen just sighted it off Charleston.
Hey, what are you talking about? The Maurice K. Thurlow was a wreck when we got those men off. I saw her, petching in the trough of those waves. Well, there wasn't anything left to her. Radio that Dutch boat and tell them they've made a mistake. She's gone down for good.
Very well, sir.
The Dutch captain will not be put off. He insists that his first mate saw the name of the derelict windjammer through his glasses. At last, the Coast Guard sends a vessel to the spot where the derelict was sighted. She has vanished. A fleet of 6 vessels is given orders to remain at sea until the Thurlow is found. They race full steam ahead, down toward the Caribbean, up toward the freezing waters of Cape Cod, back down the coast again. They trail the ship like a pack of bloodhounds, but always she eludes them. 2 old salts discuss the amazing vanishing derelict in characteristic style.
I sailed on the Thurlow once. She was a proud one.
Oh, sure. Them newfangled Coast Guard boats with all their fancy trimmings will never find her.
No, sir, they won't. She'll slink through the fog. She'll hide behind a cloud until she's had enough of it. And then when she grows old and tired and her bones ache, she'll head for the Sargasso Sea down the Caribbean. And there she'll give up the ghost, way down in old Davy Jones' locker.
Strange as it seems, the Maurice K. Thurlow, the vanishing derelict, is still evading Coast Guard vessels. She has been wandering up and down the Atlantic coast for 8 years. Has she really gone to the Isle of Lost Ships?